Good morning. It is Sunday, February the 17th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, the roads are on your mind. Your mind is on the roads in many forms, in both what's on the roadsides, what's on the roadways. Enlightening our listeners on your concerns this week.
Well, I've been making some tours of our road, traveling up and down on the state roads and our town roads, just kind of doing an assessment of where we are with the storm damage. And I've also been in contact with Wesley Grindstadt, who's in charge of maintenance for Division 14. He let me know this week that their crews, will have three crews in the next few weeks working the Highlands Plateau. What is different between our road crew of five with a small chipper and the DOT crews, they have huge chippers and equipment, which lets them process the debris right there as they go down the road. So they're coming and working in this area. I'll keep track of it. I want to make one observation, though. On 64 going toward Franklin, there's a scene where a truck had been damaged with a tree falling right down the middle of it.
Right.
A lot of people might assume that that happened in the winter storm in December. But it didn't. It happened at the first of this week where we had a tremendous amount of wind coming through, like on Monday night and into Tuesday with the rain. And the problem continues. We still have limbs and trees falling.
And more wet
power
weather.
Outage, and now we've got more rain coming. So it's just what we have to learn to contend with during the winter here on the Highlands Plateau. High winds, a lot of rain, and then we enjoy those beautiful trees and rhodos and how they grow during the summer, but when they are subjected to ice, snow, and wind, many of them don't make it and they come down, and then we have to deal with that too. So again, we're working on this. It's normally that we have one spring cleanup and that takes care of our issue, but right now it's just an ongoing problem that we'll have to deal with. And as you said, we had other road problems this week.
Yeah, well, there's that video a few months back of a truck barreling down the Gorge Road, which you had sent on to some state officials. That kind of put an exclamation point on the tractor-trailer problem. This past week put three exclamation points and an oh yikes emoji on it.
That's true, and it was a real tragic situation because, as what I understand, the driver of the truck that rolled over down the side of the gorge this past week actually was seriously injured. But we had a tractor trailer truck coming up the gorge road loaded with cross ties and didn't make the turn properly, and it fell over into Buck Creek. Sally and I were going to talk to the Macon County Board of Commissioners at their meeting on Tuesday night about blue zones, and we had to be diverted all the way on Buck Creek. They had a huge crane on 64, and so many wreckers and service people trying to correct that situation. And then after the truck was removed, DOT had to shut down the road that next day and do actual repairs to the road. So it's a real problem. Some folks were saying, well, it was okay for him to be on the road because he was making a delivery to Highlands. That is incorrect. The signs say no tractor-trailer trucks with four axles or greater on this road. Doesn't matter whether you're making a delivery or not. You can use 106 or alternative routes, but that road cannot handle tractor-trailer traffic. The following day after that, law enforcement stopped another tractor-trailer truck that was attempting to go over the gorge, and they made that trucker turn around and provided assistance. But we've got to come up with a better solution. Again, I've been in contact this week with Sergeant Deals of the Highway Patrol in charge of trucking and Brian Burtz, the Division 14 highway engineer. They're all working together to address this problem. Sergeant Deals says they're going to step up more enforcement and continue reporting these problems and violators to the federal agencies that regulate trucking. And Brian Burtz, our DOT engineer, sent me a message at the end of the week indicating that the flashing signs have been ordered and will be installed in Highlands and on the other end in Franklin to warn truckers not to use that road. And then also we're working on changing the regulations to make them more enforceable and communicate to the trucking industry, tractor trailer trucks should not use this road, period. So that's where we are on the road situation here in the Highlands Plateau area.
Well, one of the most popular attractions around Highlands is on the Gorge Road, and that's Bridalville Falls. But there's some problems now, I hear, in the parking lot there, and it's kind of beyond your purview to address.
It's a federal problem.
It's a federal problem, yes.
Yeah, with the U.S. Forest Service, and I notified the superintendent, Mike Wilkins, about the problem this week. In the rains and all the storms, there's a big tree root ball that has rolled into the parking lot, blocking, you know, parking. And also there's a boulder just above that that seems to be very unstable. And I've encouraged the Forest Service to act quickly to correct that situation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on that parking lot and in the embankments and everything around Bridalville Falls. And yes, as the temperatures warm up and spring occurs, there are going to be a lot of people there. So that project needs to be addressed very soon.
Well, an annual event that you always take part in is coming up this week, and we'll see you on the road to Raleigh. And that is the legislative dinner. And I understand you have some concerns. Last year, we got a great benefit from the legislature in the form of the brunch bill. This year, we might lose something if things go the way of a certain representative.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Chris. I do not enjoy making that 5 or 6 hour ride on I-40 to Raleigh, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
And each year, the League of Municipalities puts this dinner on. This year, there will be some workshops and some sessions before the dinner that Josh Ward, our town manager, and I will attend. And then the dinner is a chance for us to meet with our legislators and express any kind of concerns or encourage them to do certain legislative actions. For example, I'm going to encourage our legislators to change the broadband situation with their House Bill 129 to where if a community wants to participate in financing those kind of initiatives, instead of only being able to do a lease agreement with a provider for 10 years, that you can extend it to 20 or even longer, so the return on that investment in the loan can be paid back at a more reasonable time. That's one thing. The other thing that is really concerning to me is the ABC store system.
Mm-hmm.
We have a controlled ABC system in the state, and the taxes from the sales of liquor stay in the communities, and they're designated for certain types of functions. For example, in Highlands, from our profits with our ABC store, we distribute money for drug and alcohol counseling. We send some of that money, has to go to the town, and it goes to our recreation department. And then some of that money goes to our law enforcement agencies for law enforcement of alcohol violations. So it's very important that we have these revenues. Representative McGrady from the Asheville area has introduced a bill that would literally eliminate the ABC system and privatize it to where tax money would, of course, be collected. My concern is that under such a system, some of that, or if not all of that tax money, might be in Raleigh first. And when you're dealing with a $22 billion budget, a state budget, those kind of revenues can get commingled with other initiatives, and the local governments that use this money now would not see it. So I'm concerned about that. And then there's some reform modifications that are on the floor also, one of which would be to eliminate the municipal ABC boards and just have one single countywide ABC board. I'm not for that either because our county's not in the liquor business. Mm-hmm. Macon County does not allow the sale of alcohol. Only Franklin and Highlands have that option. So I'd like to see us still have local control of this whole initiative. And then finally, I think that after doing some research and looking at the current system, while there's always room for improvement, our controlled ABC system, I think, is a very good option for regulating alcohol, the sale of alcohol. Some states have it, like North Carolina. Other states just allow kind of a free market approach. And there are a lot of concerns when you have just a free market approach about corruption and other issues related to that. So I hope we'll retain the ABC system and, of course, improve it where improvements are needed.
Well, then on Thursday, Mr. Mayor, you'll be flying back down I-40 at the legal speed limit, of course, to make it back to Highlands for your town board meeting, which has a pretty packed agenda for February.
That's right. I'm not like a legislative official with a special tag, and I could speed down the road because I'm headed back to a government official meeting, mm-hmm. which is our town board meeting. So we will have to stay within the speed limit. We're going to get up early and be back for that meeting on Thursday night, 7 o'clock at the Conference Center. And we do have a pretty full agenda to address at the February meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go over a couple of things that we'll be looking at. One is Kevin O'Donnell, mm-hmm. who is our representative on our contract with Duke Energy.
Right.
He will be here to give us an update on rate increases. We don't really anticipate a major, if any, rate increase this year. And I won't get the word out. We haven't really had a rate increase on electricity now for a number of years. And one of the reasons is that we have a contract with Duke Energy. And within that contract, we have certain formulas and parameters that have been very stable in the last few years. I will point out, though, that some of the retail customers of Duke Energy have seen really significant rate increases in the last few years, like 15-16%. But other than the coal ash fees that we had to pass on, we haven't really had a major rate increase for a while. So he will be giving us a update on that. There are several lawsuits and actions that are in play that hopefully we will be able to realize some refunding from Duke Energy. And again, that goes back into the system and helps hold down rates. We'll also be having a discussion and possible action on authorizing the engineering design and drawings for the anticipated new water line on off on Sagey Woods and Split Rail in that subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
We have currently a 2.5-inch galvanized line that's been there for about 50 years. It will not last much longer, and we need to replace that with a 6-inch ductile iron water line. It's going to be an expensive project, and one of our priorities right now with our water department is to replace on a phased-in basis all those old 2-inch galvanized lines. We have more neighborhoods that have those, and over the next few years, I think we'll be addressing that problem. But the reason we want to go ahead and do the engineering drawings now is that once we fund that project, which could be this year, maybe not, but once it is funded, we'll have the drawings in place to go ahead and send out bids and begin the replacement of the lines. And then also, one of the big topics of discussion will be the bear-resistant street cans that we are considering for the downtown area. Now, this is going to be a fairly expensive initiative because we're not just getting little cans that deter bears. They're actually bear resistant.
Mm-hmm.
They're anchored into the sidewalk. They're made out of very thick steel plating, and they're designed to keep bears out and keep them from turning them over. They're going to cost about $1,300 a can. We might be looking as many as 40 of them. But it's something we have to do. And it's a part of this whole idea of becoming a bear-wise community. And again, that's not budgeted for this year, but we might need to make a decision pretty soon to order them and have them in place by the time our visitors and the season begins, and also by the time those bears wake up mm-hmm. and start roaming the town. So that's something that we'll be looking at the town board meeting. And if anyone's interested, I would encourage you to come and hear the discussion. But that's going to be a decision that we have to make based on primarily our sanitation department, what works for them, because they have to maintain those receptacles. Mm-hmm. One of the things I know that has been changed, it will not be a receptacle where you can just throw in bags of trash, right, because that encourages people just going downtown and throwing their garbage in our containers. Mm-hmm. These are designed more for things like drink cans, food boxes, small items that our visitors use as they walk down the street.
And I understand the bear discussion will continue next week, as you've got your first community coffee of the year, and you'll have some folks from the Bear Task Force joining you for that.
Cynthia Strain of the Bear Task Force will be on the program, and what we will be doing is going over the steps, the things that we have to do in Highland to become a bear-wise community. I want to encourage the business community and all of our residents to come and hear what this program is about, because it will take time to phase in, it will take a community buy-in, and it will cost money. But I think we're at a point with our bear population that we have to act boldly and not just, you know, point fingers at one another about what the problem is. We can solve it if we all work together, and this will be what this program will be about. If people want to bring up anything about bear hunting, I'm going to put the quash on that. This isn't about bear hunting. It's about how we manage the bear population as it is a part of the Highlands community.
And that'll be coming up on Friday the 22nd at the Hudson Library at 11. And on that note, we will end this episode of Ask the Mayor. I thank Mayor Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.